Good morning, sir. Would you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Yes, my name is Armando Borges. My DOC number is 031726.
Okay, sir. You're going to put it over the board of executive clemency this morning, reference to a parole hearing. I'm going to introduce the board members who are going to conduct the hearing at this time. We'll start with, to my left is the Honorable Louis Canales. To my right is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman. To his right, the Honorable Bill Woodhouse. And to her right is the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name is David Miller, and I'll be the hearing lead today. Okay, sir. I'm going to give you a little bit of information. And then I'm going to discuss a couple of things with you before we go too far. So you're currently 64 years old, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you're serving a life sentence for child molestation, which was a consecutive to a 10-year kidnapping term. There were also two other charges with the bad offense, a 10-year sentence for kidnapping that ran concurrent to the other kidnapping term, and a 5-year sentence for aggravated assault, which ran consecutive to the first kidnapping charge. This will be your 60th hearing before the board. And also, if you know that you were parole at the time of the initial offense, it turned out the offense was another aggravated assault. And you certified for this board, which is a regular parole after discharge of a home arrest on December 28, 2017. Also, on May 28, 2015, you were granted an arrest. You were released on October 8, 2015, and then December 16, 2015. You were revoked and not stemming from being violated on October 24, 2015 for accessing the pornography on your laptop, as well as having been accessing social media sites on the same laptop. Now, sir, before we go any further in this story, you wrote several letters to the board, I believe to each individual board member, and anyone that was addressed to me. At the end, you may even say to them, it's going to determine the course of the hearing today. And I will quote your letter that says, Mr. Dale, with all due respect, and this is because I'm the hearing lead today, and this is a particular concern to me. With all due respect, if during my upcoming parole hearing, my committee offense, which I guess would mean the instant offense, the reason that you're in jail, is spoken of for the purpose of portraying me as the unchanged criminal of 1976, I will need to discontinue the hearing. Okay, sir. I want you to understand this is a parole hearing. Okay? And the content of the parole hearing is based on the parole board, not on the inmate that has the hearing. Now, if you don't want us to speak of your offense or your prior offenses, that's fine. Waive your right to the hearing, and then you don't have to be here to listen to it. But if you're going to object and make comments and request a continuance of this hearing because the board is going to mention your offenses, which I am going to mention, then at this point, I will just move to deny you any parole at this point in time. So I need to know from you, are you going to make objections when I mentioned the offense that you were charged with and convicted of and sentenced to jail for?
No, sir, none whatsoever. My only issue with that is that in hearings past, when the committing offenses were spoken on, it was, what seemed to me, or the impression that I received, was that members viewed me as having not changed from the time I committed those offenses 40-plus years ago. I have received a great deal of counseling and treatment for the committing offenses. And for you, for the members to speak on the committing offenses, I have no qualms whatsoever about that.
Okay.
I just...
Okay, well then we'll move forward then, okay?
Okay.
All right, so, we got to get your information. And now I'm going to get a little bit of information about the offense. It seems that you were arrested for kidnapping, child molestation, aggravated assault, and battery. You pulled your car alongside two victims, a 12-year-old and a 7-year-old, as they walked down the street, asked them to help you find an address, and they ended up, unfortunately, not into your car. And then there was some molestation and some sexual activity. But you did drop off the victims, okay? So you were, they told police, and you were subsequently found, arrested, and went through all of the court proceedings, and you ended up in prison. And that's just a light synopsis of what happened. Also, at the time that you committed that offense, you had, let's see, 1972, after turning 18, you were arrested for child molesting and assault with intent to commit rape. You were convicted of 2 counts of kidnapping, and you're on parole for sentences when you committed the instant offense. In fact, you haven't been out of jail for about 2 months, 3 months. And then, now since you've been in, your discipline has been moderate with several various sexual violations and stalking. 2016, you were found guilty of harassment. And that stemmed from several instances of you trying to make advances on a female guard. So that may be part of your impression of your history that has shown that you're not changed much, sir. Are you here for Mr. Borges?
No.
Okay. And so, there doesn't need to be any family support, you have some community support. You have a basic release plan, and you were talking about counseling, which I would, that's the type of thing like SOTP. And you would live with your parents, which is another stepfather, but you would know no layers of support showing that that's, agreed upon by them, nothing about your financial. You got quite a good program with several sex offender classes, which is very commendable. And you had signed up for SOTP just prior to your revocation. There don't seem to be any letters from the victims, but the Maricopa County Attorney's Office did send a letter of opposition to the date August 14th, 2018. So, sir, you've been informed of the many times, and I think that probably at this time, you've been down before the board, the Grand Home Rest, and a very short period of time when you were violating, and then the board revoked your home arrest. And so that was in 2015. a long time after the original fence. Very long time. And when they let you out, you got violators or things that indicate you haven't really changed that much. So I think instead of dwelling on the original offenses and everything, they might be better at this time because basically you're trying to convince the board that we should give you another shot at home arrest, and it's been about 3 years since you were revoked. So tell us what is most relevant this morning and would be the best way to spend our time is to talk about what's different between when you have revoked and now. You know, last 3 years, what's been going on that makes you a better candidate for parole? What is it that would convince me that I should, as one voting member, vote to grant you another home arrest or regular parole?
Well, let's speak on the violations. Since returning, well, let me back up. During all the years that I spent in prison before being granted home arrest in 2015, all of my programming addressed the committing offense, the sex offenses. Because pornography or viewing pornography was never an issue with me. It had nothing to do with my committing offense, nor did it have anything to do with me while in prison. And believe me, sir, there's a great deal of contraband pornography here in prison. There's a CO3 sitting in the room with me that can attest to that, I'm sure. But I've never, ever indulged in it. Pornography never attracted me, especially hardcore pornography. The pornography that I did view while I was on the laptop was pornography, what was commonly called soft pornography, women in lingerie, and it came up while I was in the site, the social site, farmersonly.com. I entered that site knowing fully well that it was against my conditions. I'm not going to try to insult anybody's intelligence by saying, oh, I didn't know. I knew. I most certainly didn't know. But I think the issue here is, why did I enter that social network site? Of all sites, farmersonly.com, curiosity, sir. Curiosity, pure and simple. But when I had seen it many times, the advertisement on TV, and I entered it, but I had no idea that there would be pornography in there, especially the type of pornography that I was attracted to. I saw porn, what they call. I had no idea that it was in there. They surely don't advertise it on television commercials. But nevertheless, I went in, I saw it, I liked it, I viewed it. Now, since returning to prison, I've addressed that pornography issue, and I believe along with my letters to new members, I included copies of programming that I've taken since I returned on this violation, programming regarding pornography. As a matter of fact, I took two, maybe three programs addressing that issue there. Had I not addressed the pornography issue while I was attending Deer Valley Counseling Services, I had attended about three sessions before I violated. Had I not attended the pornography issues, I would have become addicted. But there's no doubt in my mind, because it's new to me. I had never indulged in it before. You know my committing offense. My committing offense is far different from pornography. But I believe I would have become addicted. And I didn't realize that until if any good thing resulted from the violation was that I came to prison, got to know the issues of pornography, and realized that I could have very well become addicted. But now I'm aware of pornography. Now I'm aware of the detrimental things that that pornography can do, especially to an ex-sex offender such as myself. And since I've been back, that is what I've done, is I've addressed that through programming. And please allow me to touch on the disciplinary report for harassment, if I may, please. If you were to read the narrative of that disciplinary report of harassment, you will see that I never said nor behaved in any sexual manner whatsoever towards that female officer. She wanted me to write a couple of poems for her. I enter essays and poems in a couple of magazines that circulate through the prison. She happened to read one of those magazines and asked me about it, and asked me, could you write me a couple of poems? I go, sure, and I did. One thing led to another. We spoke with each other a little bit too much. Staff became aware of it, and the rest is history. But the narrative of that report will show that I never said nor behaved in any sexual manner whatsoever.
Well, I really don't say exactly what you're saying, but they don't talk about, a definite sexual advance. They talk about harassment, and that you were told several times to quit, and you didn't bother to quit. And that's when it went to a disciplinary action. And this female officer that was involved was not happy or pleased with whatever you were doing, whether you were concerned sexual advances or not, okay? So, in 2016, you get violated in 2015, and then you get back in there in 2016, and in my problem with that whole incident is that it all is in the same neighborhood of leading toward things that sex offenders tend to keep following, okay? So, and pornography is a proven first step to that. So, unfortunately, some of your explanations are actually explaining why you should be concerned about your changes.
The reporting officer of that particular report was not the female officer.
Well, no.
She did not write the report.
That's right. That's the way it's done. It's done inside prison, out in law enforcement, or else like that. The victim isn't the one that writes the report. They may write statements, they make statements, but they don't write the report. Another officer would. So I wasn't surprised at all when I see a different officer's name on that wrote the report and made the allegations. She's the victim in that report. She's not the reporting officer. I understand that. Okay.
And I'm not trying to minimize my behavior either, sir. None whatsoever. Just trying to clarify.
Okay. Then in the sexual offender program that you've taken, do any of them deal with triggers and those kind of issues?
Oh yes, definitely.
Okay, and I've never had to go through any of those kind of classes, and I'm not an expert by any means, but isn't one of the triggers that they bring up as a potential trigger, something that an individual should watch out for, isn't one of those potential triggers pornography? Isn't that something they talk about in those classes as a trigger?
Let me explain this.
No, it's a simple question. Do they talk about that in those classes or not? Yes or no?
No, not pornography.
Okay, that's all I wanted. That's the only thing I need to know about that. Because, like I said, I haven't attended those classes. I know there's some of them that deal with triggers and others that don't.
Yes.
Okay, so what did you say can they deal with triggers?
My trigger was drugs. But not pornography.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, of all the years I went to treatment, pornography was never an issue that was brought up.
Okay, but then the classes, okay, if you, then the classes that talk about what your triggers are, in the presentation leading up to figuring out your triggers, Isn't pornography one of the triggers they tell you to look out for, question, or see if it might be one of your issues?
In all of the sex offender treatment programs I took before being granted home arrest, we addressed the offense cycle, the behaviors, the triggers, and pornography never came up as a trigger.
That's a trigger for anybody or a trigger for you?
Well, it's not a trigger for my particular offense, no.
Okay. Fine. Okay, thank you, sir. I'm going to see if my fellow board members might have any questions at this time. Is there anything else?
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Rourke, has the records that we have here show really considerable involvement on your part with prison politics. Is that, does that continue to this day?
Ms. Rittenhouse, would you please kind of expound more on what you mean by politics?
Well, groups, different groups that one might be involved with in prison.
Oh, okay, I see where you're going.
Yes.
Years ago, many years ago, I had, or still have, I believe, I'm not sure, I had family members, not immediate family members, but cousins that were in the Arizona's Mexican Mafia.
Okay.
The original Mexican Mafia. And long years ago, I was asked by staff if I had anything to do with that. And I said, my only involvement with that is that I'm related to a couple of cousins that are members of the so-called old Mexican Mafia. And that was the end of that. Sex offenders are not allowed in groups like that. That's a big no-no. They're just not. So, and even if sex offenders were, I'm completely against gangs and all that they represent.
I understand that. The file that we have is really, frankly, the longest file that I've read as far as number of pages and comments made by staff with very specific information. And one of the statements in here is that you admitted to Sergeant Brockman and Sergeant Perez that you were a member of the old Mexican Mafia.
I've heard that before, and what I admitted to was that I have family members that were in the Mexican Mafia, the old Mexican Mafia, that no longer exists anymore. But
right.
Back then, I do recall having admitted that I have cousins that were in the old Mexican Mafia. But as for me, myself, being a member, no, none whatsoever. That's not me there.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
That was never validated. I never had any so-called political tattoos put on, which is prevalent among the members.
Right.
I've never had that. None of that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Neal.
You.
Thank you. Any other questions? Mr. Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Bortis, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
I just have one question. I'll be delicate about it because I recognize that I'm reaching back to some past discipline. And to be very direct with you, I don't think I've ever asked this question before. It's just in context. So I won't ask you for any embarrassing or graphic details. But you had some past violations for any sex act inside the prison system. Is this correct?
For actual sex act?
Well, it says any sex act.
Oh, no. The only disciplinary reports that I've received, I don't know about incident reports. I'm not privy to seeing those. But actual disciplinary reports of that nature have always been disciplinary reports for inappropriate behavior towards female staff, flirting, womanizing, that type of behavior.
Well, you had a couple of violations, and I'll try not to drag this out, but there was one in 99 and one in 2002. It says any sex act. They were majors and they were upheld. So I guess all I was getting at was whether or not you were sexually indiscriminate, because that would raise some questions for me.
Right.
As to whether or not you were just generally predatory versus just, and I say just lightly, but, you know, you had a past history with children. You were finally released on home arrest, were exposed to pornography, so it was a sex-related violation of your conditions. It was pornography,
right.
So let's be specific.
Right.
So I'm just trying to gain some insight as to your worldview when it comes to sexual lifestyle.
No, Mr. Quinones, I've never actually indulged these past 5, 6 years, I have never actually indulged in any sexual act physically. I have not. Once again, I must say, I want to repeat, is that the disciplinary reports that I have received were, they're titled stalking, but it's more in the way of womanizing. But of course, DOC doesn't have disciplinary reports that are titled womanizing, but that's where it amounts to. I want to develop a relationship, but I've never had actual sex with anyone, male or female.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your honesty.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
No further questions.
Any other questions? That's great.
I guess I'm still trying to understand, sir, your violations. Well, I guess it was, 16 or whatever it was, it had no relationship with anything that you've done before. I'm just trying to understand why you were violated. And I know you explained it to an honorable Mr. Neal, but I'm still a little lost there. What happened, sir, when you were violated and brought back into DOC?
I had purchased a laptop. And the reason I purchased the laptop is because all these years in prison, I learned computers, I learned databases, spreadsheets, word processing, and I had hoped to somehow maybe get a clerical position, a job when I was released. And I purchased a laptop because I've worked with computers for so many years here in prison. Well, when I got on the internet, please bear in mind that the internet was new to me. I mean, it came out while I was in prison. And I entered it, a social network site came up, farmersonly.com, and curiosity drew me to it. And only curiosity, I had no way of knowing that website that would have pornography. I mean, from the TV commercials that I saw on TV, which is all we get to see on TV is that, they make no mention of pornography.
But sir, you didn't.
And behold,
excuse me.
Internet, sure enough,
excuse me for interrupting, sir. But just for time management, excuse me for interrupting. But you didn't think that it would have been necessary for you to have said to have reported to your parole officer, yes, I've just purchased this laptop or whatever it was, and it has this on there, and I'm reporting it because I don't want to get in trouble with it. You didn't think to report that to your parole officer, sir?
Having to do the pornography?
Yes, sir. That was on there. That you didn't, that it was not yours. It was on, if I understand you correct, it was not yours, but it was on the laptop. And once you saw it, don't you think it would have been appropriate for you to have reported that to your parole officer so you wouldn't?
Mr. Wright, it most certainly would. I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. And I tried to delete those websites. I tried to delete them, but evidently, not being that familiar with the internet, it remained on the browser. And so when my parole officer came to do a compliance check, he looked in there and saw them. But yes, that was what I should have done from the gate, and I didn't. I'm guilty of that, and I kick myself in the butt every time I wake up in the morning and see where I'm at. No, you're absolutely right, Mr. Wright. I'm not going to dispute that whatsoever.
Okay, sir. I understand. I just want to make sure. Yes, sir. Thank you so very much, sir. Thank you so very much, sir.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions? I do want to make one clarification before we move forward here. we get your Ames print out. We don't get all of the violation reports, but we get a copy of your Ames, which shows your disciplinary history.
Right.
And in 1989 and moving forward, you had four guilty stalking tickets. You had three any sex act tickets. You had two soliciting sex tickets. And you had, and this one I don't totally understand because they abbreviate from the long one. It's, what is written here, it says threaten, homeowner, and it's ethnic, so I'm assuming that it's threatened homosexual, but because it's a major, I have a feeling that if anybody threats poorly homosexual, that for whatever reason, but anyway, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 violations in 2013, right before the release, then all that, the stalking, I would imagine, has something to do with at least the implication of some sort of sexual thing. And because the guards that you're on are probably not populated by females, you either get it on or not, and I'm trying to get it as a female guard. So anyway, it just really throws up red flags to me as to whether or not you really have changed totally and completely from the days that you were arrested and convicted. So anyway, sir, we're nearing the end of your hearing at this time. The board will go into discussion in a couple of minutes to make a determination. Before we do, we might give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything else that you think might be pertinent to our decision. We just ask that you don't dwell on the information that you've already given us, sir.
Okay. I'm taken back on the disciplinary reports that you wrote. That you read to me. And I just want to clarify, and with all complete honesty, I've been honest with this clemency board for the past, God, I can't even, years, 25, 26, 27 years. I've never lied or been deceitful to this board, and I just want to clarify that I have never, ever threatened anybody, male nor female, nor have I ever had sex with anybody, male nor female. Please, I'm being honest with you. I have no reason to lie. I've always been honest with this board. And with members past, I have never indulged in a sexual act or requested sex from anyone while in prison. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board will be going into discussion to make a determination. We ask that you stay on the phone but remain silent. You'll be able to hear the entire discussion and the decision when it's made. After we make our decision, I'll get back with you to finish up. Okay, sir?
Okay.
All right, the board's now in discussion. And this is definitely very nice in case I do apologize for Google Stern to begin with, and being aware of his the insistence that his previous crimes couldn't be discussed was a little bit alarming to me, but we gotta take care of. So the balance of the issues. With the repeated offenses that got him incarcerated for this sort of time in the beginning, I just have a little problem with his history. And I realize I don't have a lot of paper for each one of the instances that I would mention, but it seems to be a pattern there. All of them have something to do with some type of sexual behavior or implications or whatever. the discipline doesn't say that when he, if he solicited sex, that he had sex, it says that he solicited sex. Any sex act could be a number of things, but they have something to do with unauthorized sexual activity. And generally, stalking is the same sort of thing, but it's not good. And stalking up until 2013, but then after he got out, got violated, and he's back in there, and he ended up with a, it was harassment, but according to the violation report, because he was bothering a female guard in a sexual undertone, and was told several times to not do it, and he didn't take the advice and ended up getting what it was. So I just, with overall everything that's here, I don't see Mr. Brooks as a good candidate for parole or home arrest or absolute discharge at this time. But I know there was discussion from NFL board members. Any discussion? No discussion. Okay. But based on all the information in our parole packet, testimony of Mr. Brooks and some of the information. Oh, there is, I think I did mention that there is a lot of opposition from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. But based on all this information, I'm going to move to deny Mr. Borges regulatory home arrest or absolute discharge at this time. And I believe the date of the crime is far back, and maybe there's no 1 year set off, so it'd be just a normal 6 month turnaround on parole. So that'd be my motion, and I'll give the reasons after you've completed the motion.
Second.
Great.
And a motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Kenomas, agreed by Dr. Wright, moving down to the Rittenhouse. And the reason would be that it was serious meaning found conflict victims, Asian victims, and there's multiple victims, and the way they went about it, victim harassment, violated previous probation parole, the prior criminal history, and actually in this case is definitely a key offender. And also for institutional behavior overall. Recent disciplinary infractions. He's done pretty well on his programming. His release plan is, it's a little bit weak. Almost no family or community assistance. I think there was one letter from community support. That's right, you have to make my phone number extension to have it. Okay, so Mr. Borges, deny you regulatory home arrest after discharge at this time, and you heard the reasons? Sir, did you hear the reasons?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, when you're hearing, you will be certified by DOC in approximately 6 months for another trip to the board. We do wish you the best of luck, and please put the CO3 back on the phone.